What is going down, everybody? It's time for the hype. Episode number 146, actually. We did two episodes in 1 week. This is the NBA episode. The NBA is just about to start. We're already seeing some exhibition games. So we're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk about Panini basketball cards. I'm joined with Conrad. What's going down, dude?
What's up, everybody? Whoa. Went blank. What's going on? What's going down?
How excited are you for NBA going down?
Very excited. I'm just excited for sports in general. I'm glad that they're coming back. Obviously, we're in the same boat with everybody else. It's just a big void in our lives that follow sports cards, sports cards closely. So excited that it's back.
Definitely. Yeah, I can't wait to just see some of these rookies that we've been chasing. You know, obviously, there's that cloud around Zion. Is he gonna be back in time? The Pelicans are possibly the ninth seed. They do that play-in game. I mean, the storylines with the cards, the games that are going to affect the cards. So, you know, we're talking bubble. We've got a little image of the bubble. I like the LeBron, little LeBron with the glasses. Who's that? Kawhi. We got Russell Westbrook in there. Yep. Look at James Harden with the Beats. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the biggest storyline here is? What are you following the most with this NBA bubble?
Obviously, the Zion thing is a big storyline. I was actually gonna image what the court looks like here. Just seeing how from early reports, the players are saying like they don't even feel the difference really with the with no crowd. I guess the NBA is pumping in some like fake crowd noises, but then the people on the floor are saying like, we don't even hear it. So,
well, it's kind of cool with the bubble how they're able to basically change the background for every game. How many courts are? Do we know that? Is there more than one court, or is that the court? There's probably a couple courts, right?
I think there's one court.
Okay, so they just kind of play different games in between those courts, different times and stuff like that. So, let's talk. What's your projections? I know it's easy to say LeBron maybe getting another NBA title. You know, it's an easier path this year. What is your? Who do you like as a sleeper, and what's your take?
I was actually going to ask you like, what is, I'll give you my picks for the East and West, but, I really haven't changed much from the beginning of the year, but, I'm going to go coming out of the East for sure. I've had the Bucks since the beginning of the year. I'm a big believer in Giannis. I do believe that some teams in the East do have a good chance of making it to the finals as well. But my main pick is the Bucks. West is going to be for me is a boring pick, but it's going to be Lakers and Clippers. What about you?
You know, I'm on the Jazz hype train right now. I was just looking up and down their roster and you know, with Donovan Mitchell. And there's also that story that's clouding, you know, behind Rudy Gobert during this whole COVID situation, that it almost seems like it could be a storybook final if the Jazz win it. Being that, you know, you got what happened with Gobert. And then I look up and down that roster and you've got Donovan Mitchell, you've got Gobert, I'm just talking about. You have Bojan Bogdanovic. You've got the vet Mike Conley, who is probably one of the most underrated basketball players in the league for me. Never really got a lot of credit in Memphis on how well that guy played. And you got kind of a deeper bench, you know. So I'm picking the Jazz. I know they're the four seed now, and it's going to be tough to take down the Lakers. Looking in the East, I don't know if I can go against the Bucks either in that one. But, you know, I think the Bucks are a good pick for the East. But I wouldn't count the Raptors either. I mean, they have a kind of a chemistry that you don't see that reminds me of like pre-KD Warrior kind of, you know, just rallying together. Those guys seem to be well-rounded. So it's kind of an oddball pick, but I'm saying Raptors Jazz going on a limb here.
Raptors Jazz for your finals pick? That's their finals matchup?
Raptors and Jazz, yep.
Interesting. Very interesting. So what I want to do, actually, now that we've made our predictions on the on what teams we feel have a chance at winning, getting to the finals this year, I actually want to focus on the superstar players, what this playoff bubble will have, what effects it may have on their card prices, specifically their rookie cards. So I want to focus on a few superstars. I know that there's a lot of guys that, potentially their cards could go up like crazy depending on how they play in the playoffs like they do, like it is every year. But I'm just going to focus on the high-end guys here. I know we could have put like guys like Tatum on this list and, Siakam, a bunch of other guys like the Jazz. But I want to start with Anthony Davis specifically. where his current, I'm going to focus mainly on the base PSA prisms, PSA 10s. Right now, AD's rookies sell for around $2,200. So I would say that's the average sale, $2,000 to $2,500 or so. AD, what does he need to do? Anything? Does he need to win a championship this year for these prices to go up, or will they continue climbing for him regardless?
Man, that's a base, correct? That is base. Not a silver.
We're going all base in this one.
Oh my god!
So I won't. Yeah, silvers are a whole nother beast. So we're gonna focus just on the base here, because that's the I guess most in reach. I would say.
And make your predictions in the chat, too. I see Dan's in there saying Nuggets or Lakers in the West, Bucks in the East. If you want to contribute to that in the chat, let us know as well who your pick is going to be for the NBA Finals in the bubble. But, man, I don't know. You know, I listen to a lot of guys that have been around the hobby for a while, and I know we're in some strange times, but I can't see this card, even with championships, going up any higher. I think the NBA hobby tends to lean towards smaller guys. But you know, what you've known in the past could kind of be thrown out during this time that we're in right now. $2,200 for a freaking base card is insane.
And yeah, I mean, we're gonna get into that a little bit later about the current state of the market and you know, what's going on with the pandemic and all that. But yeah, AD, I see, you know, my opinion, I say he gets a nice little boost, you know, if the Lakers are able to pull it out this year. I see he gets a nice little boost on his cards. You know, he will be able to finally call himself a champion. Depending on if they get to the finals and how the finals go, he could possibly be the finals MVP, you know. So that could definitely change it. And, I mean, the next guy I want to talk about is actually the guy that has been going up and up and up for the last 3-4 years. It's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. What effect do you feel like if he gets to the finals, will that have any effect on his card? I feel like his prices are insane already. So,
You know, I do think that his cards will go up just because of the sheer amount of volume of buyers that have already bought his card. So they're going to protect their prices. A lot of them may not sell either. So that's going to create more scarcity. And we got to remember, especially when you're dealing with 13-14 Prism, that you got to keep in mind that they really didn't make that much of 13-14 Prism in comparison to how much Prism they make now. So you can look at the pop reports. I think we've had shows on here that we've mentioned the pop reports on the 13-14 Prisms, and there just isn't that much. So just because of the scarcity, I think, yeah, if he dominates the playoffs, if he gets himself a final, I think that thing goes up, and it can keep climbing.
And that probably rings true for the AD as well, right? 12-13 Prism, not as much of it being out there. But yep. check out Giannis's price here on the screen.
And you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel that's the other thing that's to keep in mind with 12-13 Prism too, is that it is the first one, right? Yeah. So even though it is AD, and I talked about him being, you know, a big guy, maybe the collectability with big men isn't there, but that is the first year of Prism.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's guys that are scrubs that sell for a lot because it is the first year. Up, yeah. You know, so but we got some of his prices here. Is that a base as well, right?
Yeah, his base.
Woo!
$4,000.
God dang, man.
Sell between $4,000 to $4,500 about in auctions.
Wow. I wonder what the pop report is on the 10s. Probably not as much as Luka's or, you know, any of the other guys, but what are your thoughts? Do you think that can go up? What do you think if he wins a finals? Let's just say he wins an NBA finals. What do you think his prices could go up at that point?
I mean, if they win the finals, you assume that he's going to be the finals MVP. So that just adds to the lore. I mean, it's where a lot of people assume where Giannis is going to end up anyway. So it'd be, you know, early start. It'll justify some of these prices, I guess you could say, in a sense. But yeah, Giannis is one of those guys. People strongly believe in his talent, so. Even without winning the finals, this card, I feel, is still going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't know what the ceiling is yet on this one.
Well, and I think you're seeing the LeBron James effect. Obviously, we just had our last podcast, and I do apologize about the audio. We're kind of learning on the fly. So I know the audio sounded terrible in the first one. Hopefully, it sounds a little bit better in this one. But we moved into a new studio a couple months ago, and we're kind of working out the kinks. But we talked about LeBron James and that $1.8 million sale. what that does is it causes a trickle effect down through the rest of the market. So you're seeing guys that can't afford a $1.8 million card. What's the next best thing? It could be Giannis, right? So now we're going to focus our attention on Giannis, $4,000.
And,
What is LeBron Chrome's up to now? I mean, right. they're $6,000-$7,000, right? So
I actually have a segment coming up a little bit later talking about LeBron and MJ prices a little bit. And the comparisons between, the current market and even just from 3 months ago, I'll let you guys in on that. But the next guy I want to talk about moving on, again, we're focused on the superstar high-end guys. I do have a little tidbit of Karl Anthony Towns coming up in this today's show, so stay tuned for that. We are going to talk about him a little bit. Yes, and he is a great big man player too. But next guy I want to focus on is fun guy Kawhi Leonard, two-time NBA champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's on his third team. He's trying to make history, win a championship for the third team. So what do you feel like Kawhi's prices? Where can he go if they get to the finals, if they win the NBA Finals? His base prisms right now are at $3,300 and climbing.
You know, I feel like personally, and this is just off the cuff here, I'm not a big Kawhi believer. I think that he joined a team in Toronto that was – you could still see them playing well. They're still, in there. They did that load management with him last year where he wasn't playing all the games. They still were successful with or without him on the court. Yes, he contributed to winning that finals. Did the Warriors have some guys missing? Yes. If you go back to when he played for Popovich, it was another kind of a system type of team. I don't know what it's like. I mean, what it's going to be like here, Gil, going deep into this bubble season with the Clippers, with Paul George. Are they going to have that same kind of chemistry? So as far as for me, I would not invest in Kawhi Leonard personally. I know he has a lot of fans, and I know he has an extreme amount of talent. Some of the things he's done over the years for me is a little bit weird, where it's like, I don't know if I want to collect him personally. No doubt he's successful. He's an NBA champion. I probably wouldn't buy him at the prices that, we're seeing here, which literally seemed like they've jumped up well after the finals.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
After the finals, I think you could get this for half or less, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on old fun guy?
I mean, I feel like he's a robot, man, and top five player in the NBA right now. The whole load management thing is iffy, but as other analysts have said, he when it comes to the playoffs, he's there for his team, right? So I mean, that's where it matters the most. There is an argument to be made. The little asterisks a little bit on his them beating the. He was on one of the greatest teams ever, with the San Antonio Spurs with three other Hall of Famers, when they won that first chip against LeBron in the Heat. And then, last year, the Raptors were already one of the top teams in the East before he joined them. That was easy to call that, them making the finals last year. So, as far as investing on him right now at these prices, we'll see. I can't say either way which way I would go. I got to see what he does this year in the bubble.
And a disclaimer, I know I mentioned on the last show that you should never hate anybody for the situation. Like, if whoever wins a championship this year, I know people are going to try to put the asterisks on it. I don't think you should.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to put the asterisks on the Toronto championship because they didn't hurt the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Warriors also benefited from Kawhi getting hurt in the year that they won a finals. So, mm-hmm. It comes around. So I'm not taking that away from him, but I just like to see a little bit more from him. When he was on the Spurs, granted, he was a little bit younger, but I felt like he never took that leadership role. And then when he was in Toronto, I didn't feel like he took that leadership role where a true superstar would be, that you see in Steph, that you see in LeBron, that you see in, Kobe and Jordan, all that, like that leadership role. You don't really see it with KD either. I mean, KD had that in OKC, but I don't know. There's certain guys that just don't have that like leadership ability that I think transcends the hobby, but could be wrong. We'll see. Let's see what the Clippers do.
All right. And I wanted to kind of avoid some of the young guys. Like I was saying, I wanted to focus on the superstars, but it's kind of hard to ignore this kid. It's the last guy on this list that I want to talk about real quick is the wonder kid himself, Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. They are in the playoffs. They are in the hunt. You know what I mean? They were playing well before the season got canceled, obviously having a historic sophomore season. His PSAs, check this out. They're right now they're sitting at 1,050. So what do you feel? What can Luka do this year in the bubble?
Well, I mean, after showing me all those other prices, this almost seems like a deal, right? I mean, which is crazy for me to say because we were talking about during his rookie season, I think his silvers were at $400 or $500.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a base card. I want to make that very clear. That is a base card. Base. Once all these cards we're talking about are not silvers. These are base cards.
Just the base.
PSA 10s. You know, he's what, top six in scoring right now? So, I mean, I think that's a pretty solid investment. As we can see, he has staying power beyond his rookie year. People are still collecting Luka, and people are still chasing Luka. I mean, I think he brings some of that more of that international market over as well. And, you know, so, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been a fan of Luka from the very beginning. You know, we started the 18-19 season kind of like knowing which of the top rookies we're looking for, like Ayton and Trey. You know, Luka was like kind of a question mark. There were some people that were on him early. It took a while for him to get going. You know, obviously when the season started, everybody saw how talented he was. But big fan of Luka Doncic.
Now some people
have a long career.
Some people have said he looks a little bit overweight coming back into the bubble. I don't know if I noticed that. I think he's got a stocky frame himself. Anyway.
Yeah, he's always been a little bit stocky. Yeah.
But you know, as Dan put in the chat, the Mavs are 40-27. They're in the seventh spot, so I think they're pretty safe on their spot. Do you think they have enough talent around Luka to possibly push deep into the playoff bubble?
If you talk to Mavs fans, they're gonna win the finals this year. You know, I've talked to a couple of our guys in the chat room who believe that they can make a serious run, you know, based on just Luka playing out of his mind. And we'll see what playoff Luka looks like, right? So that's gonna be interesting to see. I know that, you know, some of these guys in the NBA, they took the time off, you know, these 4 months. Some of them took the time off and trained even harder. Some of them didn't. We'll see which ones did and didn't very soon. So
No doubt. And, I mean, one thing to also keep in mind, if you're thinking about buying any of these guys that you're talking about, that we're talking about, I would look at the pop reports on these. Because if Giannis has 400, well, I'm throwing out numbers. I don't know the data. But let's just say, and how you do that is you go on PSA. If you're looking at PSAs, you go to their pop report. You don't have to have a login for PSA. BGS, I believe you have to create a login. You don't have to pay for it, but you have to have a login. And you go to that pop report, and you see how many are graded. So that if you're looking at it like you're just going to collect Luka, don't look at that. But if you're looking at it like, hey, maybe I can make an investment in 2 years, I can flip it, I would seriously consider how many there are. Because if the bottom drops out, then people are basically going to start selling all of those cards, and they're going to kill your value.
Yeah, pop report is important.
Pop report is important if you're thinking about making an investment of that size, I think. So,
yeah.
And Luka, there may be some more going in. You may be a little bit more safer on the Giannis, where there's probably not many more going in. So that's something to consider as well. But analyze that data, see how many are selling every day, and to see if it's you know worthy of making that investment if that's what you're trying to do.
All right, and then moving on, you know, obviously the two biggest kids in the playoffs is like we alluded to a little bit earlier, Zion and Ja. Like I'm not going to really go into their card prices right now. Main reason being because, you know, they're rookies this year, so the hype on them is already incredibly high. Their prices are going to keep going up regardless, I feel like, what they do in the playoffs this year. But they do have a chance to make their mark, definitely. But, yeah, Morant and Zion Williamson.
I think the sad thing about the situation of the bubble is that one of them is going to cannibalize the other one, right?
Yeah.
Because one of them's in the eighth right now. Is it the Grizzlies are in the eighth?
Yep.
And then the Pelicans are in the ninth. So they could have a one-game playoff to get one of them out. And then the seventh would be the Mavericks, right? So you're probably not going to be able to have Luka, Ja, and Zion all in the playoffs at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we got eight. I think how many games do they play each? Eight, I think, before the playoffs?
Not a lot of games.
So, I mean, in a perfect world for the hobby, you want to have all three of those teams in there, but I think it's either going to be either or. It's either going to be the Grizzlies or it's going to be the Pelicans, and then one of those teams is going to have to play the Lakers in the first round.
Yep.
Could you imagine how big that is going to be seeing Zion face off against LeBron and AD? I mean, that's just going to be, or even Ja for that matter, but Zion will be bigger.
Must see TV.
It's going to be crazy. So,
yep. All right. And then next segment, jumping off the Zion and Ja rookies, like I said, we're not going to go over their prices because their prices are just going to keep climbing. Their hype is crazy. We're going to talk about the 2019 draft, a couple of sleeper picks, sleeper rookies, you know, that may have both long-term impacts and rising their prices, also also long-term impacts for their teams, like, and with their winning percentage. The first guy I want to go with, there's not going to be no surprise here a little bit. If you guys have been following me and
BC?
know who I collect here. First guy we're going to talk about is Brandon Clarke, okay? He was drafted 21st overall. None of these sleeper picks that I have are anybody under that got drafted in the first 15, because all those guys have their own, you know, hype levels and potential. But Brandon Clarke was drafted 21st. You know, he's arguably the biggest steal in the draft. He is an elite athlete. He can jump out of the stands. He actually has the 67% shooting, which is ranked true shooting percentage, which is actually ranked 9th in the entire NBA.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he's an efficient scorer as well. His mid-range game is like automatic. And if you look at his prices right now, PSA Gem 10 base cards are going for $105.
And that was with Shilstein. So, I mean, Shilstein might have been $20, $30 more. Yeah, exactly. So you could probably get a good one for $70 without using Shilstein. But, I agree. I mean, and especially if they get that. And Dan mentioned that the Blazers are the 9th seed. So that makes even more of a cluster to not have Dame possibly in the playoffs, or Dame knocks out the Mavericks or the Grizzlies or the Pelicans. So that's can we get 10 teams in the playoffs? I'm kidding.
If the Grizzlies are able to hold on, obviously Ja is the must see player on the Grizzlies team, the young player. Jaren Jackson is a very important player for them moving forward as well. But if they hold on to the 8th seed, Brandon Clarke is gonna have something to say about that.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the pieces that young pieces. And I know the knock on him is that he is 22, but he's a little bit older on the older side for rookies. But for me,
was he a 4-year college player?
I don't know if he went 4. I think
at least
he went
3 if he's 22,
yeah,
3, right?
Yep. So for me, like every year, you know, like we all have our own personal collection. We all have our PCs. Every year, I pick somebody to collect. And obviously, this year I picked Brandon Clarke. And this is actually the after seeing him play, not you know, like most of the season, I would say this is the most. Obviously, you know, none of these sleeper picks, most sleeper picks in general, they're never going to pan out to what you think they're going to be, right? But for me, this is my safest PC I felt like, more or most comfortable PC player I've collected in the last few years, where I feel like he still has a chance to go up some. So
yeah, I mean, and he's got the right look, you know, and he's playing with Ja. Do you think there's room for him and Ja? I mean, what if he starts exploding? Does Ja prices go down? Can they both be killing it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Plus, they got Jaren Jackson, who will demand the ball as well. He's going to be a volume scorer as well. I feel like Jaren Jackson and Ja. We'll see if all three of them can put it together. You know, like what do we say about the Thunder when they had James Harden and Russell Westbrook and KD? You know what I'm saying? Like if the three of them could put it together, they could do something special. But moving on from Brandon Clarke, another sleepy pick I have for you guys is actually drafted right before Brandon Clarke, the 20th pick, Matisse Thybulle. I don't know if you say that, that's exactly how you say his name, but he is by far, if you look into his stats, he is the best defensive rookie in this draft class. Oh, yeah. By far. His steal and block percentage he's only one of 9 players in NBA history to have a steal and block rate over 3%. He's in rare company. The other 9 players in there include David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon. So you look at his PSA base 10s, they're only going for about $60 right now. Now, yeah, his offense is not as polished as some of the other rookies, but defensively, you know, the Sixers are loving him. The
Absolutely.
Philadelphia Sixers, like they have him. I think they have him in the second unit. And, you know, he changes the game defensively for them. So
yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about that early on in the season. And if somebody in the chat could look up Thybulle Silver and Clarke Silver, just for reference, just to see how much those are going compared to the base, mm-hmm. so we can kind of relay that. Because we had Derek in the chat saying, hey, what are the prices of silvers? There's actually a good tool out there. I think it's from Sports Card Investors that actually has the percentage of the base compared to the silver. Like, if it's at 3 times as much, is it 4 times as much?
The ratio, yeah.
Yeah, the ratio.
That was
tool.
Awesome. Yeah,
yeah, I got to subscribe to that. I'm not giving him a plug, and I don't even, he's not even advertising.
Shout out Sports Card Investor.
But he's basically putting in the work to scrub all that data, and it's a pretty good tool. I think it says elite level service, but I mean, you could probably figure that out on your own as well if you didn't want to join the service. But he basically takes that data and tells you what the ratio is. So sometimes if you can see some guy's silver is only two times as much as his base, and maybe that's solid investment on the silver. Or other way, maybe it's eight times. Maybe the base is undervalued. So it's definitely a good tool to use. $70 to $80 raw on the Brandon Clark silver. So yeah, you get one raw, you can kind of comb it over, look it over, and see if it's worthy of buying, and then sending it over to PSA and waiting. You know, I don't know, 6 months, but waiting for a little while to get your cards. So that's pretty cool.
And the reason I decided for this episode to go with the just mostly base and the non silvers and the non chrome and the non refractors is because it's just it's you know, like, obviously there's more of it out there, so there's more, you know, we can gather from comparing players with their regular base, especially with the rise of how much base they're going for now. Like, I mean, we just saw Giannis for 4,000 and AD for 2,000, you know, right. And Kawhi for 3,000, so that kind of gives you an idea of where these guys can possibly go, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, but it also relates to something that we're going to talk about here soon. But my third sleeper pick, third one, guys, is a Toronto Raptor. It is Terrence Davis of the Raptors. All right, this kid is another strong and athletic combo guard. He has a great story, first of all. One of the reasons why he was on here, he was the kid that decided to turn down a two-way, you know, second-round draft. He decided to bet on himself, so he went undrafted. He was able to sign with the Raptors summer league team, proved himself to be a great player, and they signed him to a full contract. So he bet on himself, got on the Raptors. Whenever one of the Raptors' main players go down, they could plug him in there, and he gets the work done. 40% three-point shooter. Now, he's a late rookie, right? Because he only got signed in the summer league. So he doesn't have a lot of the early rookie prism cards like the other rookies do. So actually, the first rookie prism you could say he has is actually the Mosaic. And there's obviously none graded because these products just came out recently. So, I mean, $2 for a base card of Terrence Davis. All right. That if you want to talk about a sleeper pick, that's a sleeper pick, son. And he's on a team that's, you know, obviously a well-oiled machine. They're a great team together, and he's going to just keep growing, I feel like. But if you want to go high-end, I did include, because we don't have any PSA 10 data. If he does have NT National Treasures or RPAs, and his true RPA verticals go for $500. So,
yeah, I was just going to ask that. So you read my mind, because I remember seeing – I don't know if we may have pulled one or two of them. I remember seeing them and be like, oh, I don't remember seeing much of this guy all year. And I think it was Steven I was talking to. Shout out to Steven over there in Canada. I think he actually was saying the same thing you are. The guys over in Canada are, you know, really watching this kid, and he could be a superstar that kind of flew under the radar. So, I mean, God, $2. Yeah. But you know what? You know, we don't know the data yet, but he may be in Chronicles. Oh, I didn't even plan this out. So, yeah, he's probably in Chronicles. Did they show a picture of him?
He doesn't have a picture, but he is on the checklist.
Okay.
He's on the checklist. He is getting a Prism card, guys, in Chronicles. It comes out in about, 2 weeks? A week and a half? He's in the Prism update set, so he will be getting a proper Prism rookie card with all the colorways, all the parallels. So check that out if you're a Terrence Davis collector, man. Sleeper pick.
And it looks like they're showing off the Kendrick Nunn as well. So he'll be in there as well, which is good. So, Chronicles. Yep. We'll be previewing that soon once we get a little bit more image and pictures and we get it on the site.
Yeah, it's going to be a great product. It was a great product last year. And moving on now, let's get to LeBron and Jordan. And what I want to talk about today about Jordan and LeBron is not the verses, not them comparing each other. But I want to, you know, for a long time since I've been back in the hobby, even before I got back in the hobby back in 2011, one of the constants that we always talk about year to year, and the main question we get is like, what are the safest investments in our hobby, right? Where you could put your money in something, let it grow year to year, and never have to worry about actually coming down. And in this hobby, you know, that's a rare thing. And for a long time, it was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, base rookie, Fleer from 1986, was a card that always went up year to year, every single year. So I'm asking, Doug, are they still the safest investments in basketball, in the hobby, LeBron James and Michael Jordan? Especially coming off, I know you guys talked about this on the show the other day, coming off the $1.8 million RPA sale, exquisite.
And that's heads exploded on that sale. And, you know, not to get off on a side note, but did you see who threw up their Vegas Dave does not want to be beaten. Vegas Dave is now auctioning off his super cracker Mike Trout because he can't deal with the fact that the $1.8 million LeBron kicked off his red refractor Mike Trout. So he's hoping that this thing, that Mike Trout gets there. I know we're not talking about basketball, but he's hoping this Mike Trout probably gets a $2 million, right? Which I think he bought for $300,000 or $400,000. So either way, he's going to make out like a bandit. But I think it's the accolades of I sold the greatest modern day sports cards. But back to the question, I do believe that that is the safest investment. One thing to pay attention to, though, is some of the inserts that people are paying an obscene amount of money for, you know, like maybe some of these 90s inserts of Jordan or some of these 06, 07 LeBrons that are going for crazy or these mosaic that are, you know, stained glass that are going for $2,000.
1920 products.
Right. So I would maybe not pay up on that. But if you're dealing with any rookie stuff, you're dealing with any Jordan rookie stuff. I mean, obviously, it's going to cost a lot of money, but I really don't see it going down. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to come in and knock these two off for the next 20, 30 years. I know that might kill Zion collector, you know, dreams and goals and stuff like that, but I don't think these guys are going to be touchable for a while.
Yeah, but here, let's paint them a picture. All right, so we're going to go back. We're going to check out what the current prices are of those iconic rookie cards of LeBron and Jordan. So first up, I got the this is just the chrome, not the refractor, the chrome, okay? So we're talking about regular base right now still. PSA 10 LeBron James rookie. They go for about $15,000 right now.
Jesus.
$15,000. I have data. Back in April, these were going for around only $6,000 to $7,000.
Yeah.
So within 3 months, they're up to $15,000. All right. So this, if you want to go a little bit lower end on the LeBron rookies, of course, we got the rookies and stars, Bowman Chrome. And these go for PSA 10 for around $6,000. $6,000 to $6,500, all right, for the LeBrons. And then Jordan, the Mac Daddy of all basketball cards, PSA 10, $71,000 for PSA 10 Fleer 86 rookie Jordan. And I actually want to get to I want to talk about this card a little bit and also how I feel like it's such a iconic card to own as a basketball collector as an investment piece. So a lot of you guys might be looking at this and like, man, I don't got $71,000 to spend on a PSA 10 Michael Jordan, right? That is the beauty of the Jordan Fleer rookie. All right, guys. So you don't have to buy a PSA 10. The beauty of the Jordan Fleer rookie is that all of them go up in price. So if you can't afford the $71,000 for a PSA 10, get you I want to show this one too real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go a little bit lower end than the base, you have the stickers from 1986 that go for around $21,000. But if you don't have the money for a $71,000 PSA 10, you could get the PSA 9 for $13,000.
What a big jump.
Right? You could get the PSA 8 for $4,500. You can get the PSA 7 for $3,500 and so on and so forth. So my point is, like, I want to say, just like Duck, I agree. LeBron and Jordan are still the safest investments in the hobby. And if you can get a PSA 10 at any grade level, like a lot of people do is they'll buy the PSA 5, PSA 6, be like, okay, and have that feeling like, okay, I'm owning a piece of history. Like, this is Jordan's rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get more money, once they, you know, whatever, they can upgrade to the next level, get a PSA 7, you know, then upgrade to the next level, get a PSA 8. You don't have to start at the very top. You don't have to feel like you don't have a chance at this Jordan rookie card. As a basketball collector, I feel like you almost need to have this card in your collection.
Yeah.
It just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and back to the LeBron, I'm really feeling sad that I sold a few LeBrons, seeing that the price that you showed there. Should listen to you. I was like, there's no way. There's no way that somebody would give me more than $18,000.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they would. Anyways, crazy times we're living in with cards. Crazy that the pandemic, I know we talk about this, and if you're new, you haven't heard us talk about this. If you've listened to every show, you hear it talk about it all the time. Crazy that the pandemic will cause prices to go up and there was no sports on. We had The Last Dance. That's pretty much says it. That pretty much defines the moment we're in sports cards right now.
And that's a perfect segue. Check out what I found, dude. That's a perfect segue to our next segment. of what we're going to talk about.
When was this? When was this Beckett?
I don't know.
A Beckett sports card magazine saying, are trading cards recession proof? It's got to be an old one because it's got LeBron and Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard was not recession proof. And Matt Ryan. So I bet you that was around 2008, I would say. It actually shows, look, if you look at it, it shows that LeBron James was down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it has the Matt Ryan.
That actually looks like an exquisite too, bro.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Down. Oh, man, that would have been a perfect time to buy it. You know, it's hard to say because, I mean, I feel at some point, I'm not going to get political on this, but I feel like at some point with all the money that's been printed, you know, by the in the economy that – I'm not going to say that sports cards are going to go down, but I think the value of the dollar is going to go down in a sense. So maybe you have a card that's, you know, $30,000, but the dollar, you know, now a loaf of bread costs $15, $20. So, you know, you're seeing that with products already. So that's my biggest concern with sports cards is the fact that is our money going to be the same once we break out of this thing, once vaccines are,
exactly.
once everybody's going to sports games again and you know, COVID-19 is in the past, is the dollar going to be the same? I don't know. I'm not an economist. I don't know. And if you listen to some of them, there's some on one side, there's some on the other side. The stock market's up right now. People are at home. They're able to buy sports cards. People are probably spending a lot more time on sports cards right now. But what happens when things get back to normal? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the market going to still keep rolling like it is? And that's the question. And none of us are going to know it, but it's something to think about when you're making these large investments. I mean, if you have the kind of money that the guy that owns Lob.com that bought LeBron James, if you have that kind of money, then you're not caring about the $1.8 million you spend. But if you had $100,000 in your bank and that's all you got, and you just spent $70,000 on one card, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. So something to think about. But sports collectors are not going away. Sports card collectors are not going away. And, one thing about it is if you're invested in Luka Doncic, you love Luka Doncic. You love everything that he does. Look at Vegas Dave and with Derek Carr. And I know you love Derek Carr, but Vegas Dave has got so much Derek Carr that he's out there talking about Derek Carr. So people are not, or they're going to justify the money they spent, and they're necessarily not going to dump them for lower unless they have to. So that's something to keep in mind. But
that's perfect, dude. I didn't even have to ask you the question. You answered it already. One thing I do want to talk about that's a little bit more controversial a little is market manipulation.
Yeah.
Is it a big issue or not? Is it a big issue? I feel like, we're seeing some wild times, obviously, with prices. We've seen what happened with Project 2020 on the baseball side. That was I don't know what happened with that, but that felt like it was a big-time market manipulation.
Yep.
So is it as big as an issue as some people think, or is it something we need to be worried about or be, you know, conscious of, or what do you think?
I think one thing, going back to the LeBron $1.8 million sale, I think that we have a buyer and we have a face to the buyer. So that's great for the sports card hobby. But I think eBay, and I know a lot of sellers don't want to hear this, but I think eBay needs to confirm payment on sales. I think that is the first step. I don't know if they'll ever do that. But that will let you know that, hey, this card did auction at $70,000, but the guy never paid it. So then we can cut that off from our list of using as a comp. So it's very easy to manipulate the market. If you think about it, all it takes is a couple guys. It could be as little as a few guys that went ahead and bought, and we talked about the 15-16 Prism shenanigans that we think was happening that kind of set the market for Prism. that stuff could happen. 10 guys could basically buy 500 cards, 500 base cards at $5. They could basically use Shilstein 123 to air out their dirty laundry. They could send it to him. He could auction it off. They could have their buddies all bidding it up, and then their buddy could pay for it, and then the next time another card goes up from the buddy, he basically pays the same amount, and then now they're just exchanging money, and there's no money lost, right, besides maybe the fees, which will be minimal. So now you've created a market, and now you say, oh, this card's now a $10,000 card. And it was literally only a few guys that caused the market to do that. And then there will be real sales that follow, but it's very easy to possibly manipulate the market on some of these items. And I think you've seen that with Project 2020. Project 2020, 24-hour sale on these cards. So one guy could buy 700 at a time. He could go back at lunch and buy another 800. He could go back at lunch and buy another 1,000. Now he has 3,000 cards. He basically uses 10 other people to manipulate the market on the Ermsey cards that go for 3,000, that they're all into them for $20. So it's very possible for it to happen. What's your thoughts?
Yep. And going back to, like, that was perfect, Like, if for those don't know in the hobby, obviously, if you're just joining the last couple years, last 3 years even, the Silver Prism is the what the Holy Grail most for the most part of true rookie base cards, right? It's the one that everybody wants, but it actually didn't blow up until 2015, 2016, and that was it almost happened overnight. The Karl Anthony Towns Silver Prisms at one point, I would say, like, say this is a 2015, summer of 2015, and Karl Anthony Towns Silver Prisms were going for like $50 a pop, raw maybe. And then overnight, they jumped to $200, like the next week.
Yep.
And that set in motion, you know, maybe the hobby was looking for, a chrome refractor replacement, and it just, you know, it just happened with the way it was supposed to be. Because now it's the standard. The thing about basketball collecting in the hobby is that once something becomes a standard, it's very hard to knock it off being the standard, right?
Right.
Like, the NTRPA is the best RPA to have. The Silver Prism is the best rookie card to have, so on and so forth. So, this was back at 50. Like, now, like, we can see Karl Anthony Towns. Somebody was talking about him earlier. Talented big man on the Timberwolves, you know, like, going for 476 on the Silver, but... That's why I wanted to ask. Like, I think on the market manipulation definitely happens on the high end cards right now. A lot of the high end cards, so people can pump up the their own cards and sell them, and, you know, be like, oh, this is the comp on eBay. This is how much they go for, bro.
Right.
This is how much I want. So I don't think it happens so much on anything that's like maybe below like $2,000, $1,500. But I think stuff above that, definitely some of it, the super high end especially.
I mean, you could even do like a straight small side hustle that's obviously dirty, but you could have, like, say you bought two Mike Trouts out of Dynasty that were numbered 10, and you bought two of them, and then you basically auctioned one, and you're like, you called your buddy and you're like, hey, make sure you bid this thing to, I paid 3,000, let's just say I paid 500 for it, make sure you bid it to 1,000, and then I bought two, I basically can get one for free because I can sell the other one for 1,000 now based on the comp. So a lot of these guys go into these rooms on Facebook, which is also Be wary on watch the room. You know, if a guy has a funny name or something like that, there's a lot of scamming going on in these groups. But a lot of these groups will basically run up these comps. It doesn't get paid, or if it does, maybe his buddy pays for it. And then now they're going in these rooms and say, well, the last one sold for 1,000. I have one. I'm selling it for 950. Well, so now it seems like a deal. Okay, yeah, I'll give you 950. But what he did was he just manipulated that one up.
Yep.
So, I mean, like I said, that's on a very small scale, but I'm sure it happens. It may even be the same card. And then the guy's like, well, I'll sell it for what I paid for it, but it never was paid, right? So
I will be careful. I will say the community is, there's obviously got like guys in the community that really investigate this type of stuff. And they really try to expose these shillers and scammers and stuff. So if you pay attention to the forums, utilize any forums, obviously groups too on Facebook, scammer groups, they're really watching out for this stuff. So just be careful when you're buying high end.
Yeah, and Jeff actually has a really good question. He said, do the buyback companies have an impact on the prices? Buyback companies meaning Leaf, Hit Parade, what's the Kings one?
Sports Kings?
Not Sports Kings. What's the one from Atlanta? They do the basketball one. We bought them before. But anyways, there's a dozen of them out there. And, they do impact because they're all bidding against each other trying to get cards for their buyback. So that does help the market out as well. And because there's less products in the market – meaning stuff like Mosaic and Prism, like real product, like not buyback, they're forced to maybe supplement their income that way. Or smaller breakers that can't get Prism or they can't get anything like that, they're buying these buybacks, which means there's more of a demand for the buybacks. There's just more of a demand for product. So, yes, I believe it 100% what Jeff is saying. There does have an impact on. I mean, I'm not lying. I probably overpaid. I don't feel very good about this purchase yesterday. I got caught up in the hype, and it was PWCC I bought it from, which I probably paid $1,000 two more. I bought a Luka Doncic red Contenders Optic. So they're numbered to 99. I bought a PSA 10. I paid $6,300 for it. Kind of a lot. I'm kind of scared. Kind of a big investment for that card. It's a beautiful card. It's one of my favorites.
It looks sexy, though.
It does. It's right here. I know you can't show you on the camera, but that is it right there.
Oh, yeah, that's the real auto, too.
Yep, and that is the possible real auto. And I guess can't see it there, but possible real auto. It looks more like his.
That one looks real to me. Yeah, the one that his mom does is like it's like perfect. LULU.
You're right, Dan. It was Burger King. I mean, no, Break King. Yeah, Break King is the other one. But yeah, bought that card. It's going to maybe eventually end up in a buyback. I don't know. It's a little pricey, but, you know, I'm like, you know, did I get wrapped up in some kind of shill situation? I don't know. So we'll see. But Carl Anthony Towns.
Yep. And moving on, guys, our last segment for today's show. We got C-Red 6.5 top favorite NBA cards this season. These are my top five favorite cards from the season so far. Obviously, there's so much more products still to come this year. But, yeah, this is the top five for me, all right? Starting with number one. It's going to be no surprise to anybody that knows me. No surprise. I'm going to start with the Revolution Galactic.
Woo!
Revolution Galactic. Okay, so for those that don't know, Galactic is a super short printed parallel in Revolution Basketball. Revolution Basketball itself is only a four-year-old product. The first year of Revolution was 2015-16, like we were just talking about with Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, from the moment, I mean, year to year, it doesn't get much better for me, man. Year to year, you know, 15-16 was Revolution was a big gamble in 15-16. It was in the midst of people like really still wanting their hits. They want their autos. They want their relics. They want their jerseys. So Panini came out and said, you know what? We're going to put out a product that has two autographs in a 16-box case. And even then, I didn't really know what to expect. I was like, that sounds, you know, already off bat sounds super risky. It only took one Revolution that the first time I saw a Revolution parallel in or first time I saw a Galactic parallel in Revolution for me to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, you know, I definitely had a different experience with Revolution to begin with. I came around now and I actually do love it. But we were breaking in Arizona, me and Dan, we were breaking. We're doing the spring training event with some players and we were doing baseball the first day. You know, with I don't even remember who we broke with. But the next day was a preview of Revolution. It was the first year, which I believe is that 14-15, I think.
15-16.
Mm-hmm. So we're like, man, there's three autos. Like, we didn't even want to do it. We're like, three autos in an 8-box case? Like, what the heck? It was two. Yeah, it was two. And we're like, man. So we sold the break, whatever. We're doing it. And I mean, yeah, I was probably tired the night before. It's hot out in Arizona. I might have been a little hungover. I'm not sure. I just wasn't feeling it. I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, like, why are we getting going away from autos? But I fully understand it now, and I love it. I mean, but at that time, it was the culture was hit, autograph, bat knob. Like, what can we do to – like this is a boring product. Like, there's not enough card. Like, why is there only three autos? Like, can we do hitless credits on this? Like, we can't do hitless credits. I don't even know if we knew what Galactics were then. I think we're like, oh, I don't even think we looked at the back of the card. We're only looking for numbers, right? So – but it's evolved into something that's kind of still affordable. I know this year's – boxes have gotten what $200-$250 retail,
$300 now.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a little less affordable than it used to be, but I mean, back when it's not a big rookie class or when it's not a hefty, popular rookie class, you're looking at
above like $120.
Yeah, you're looking at a pretty affordable box with some cool cards, some rookies, and stuff like that. So I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, for all the, you know, like a lot of the reasons to give Panini crap, but Panini took the chance and they really paid off with Revolution, man. Beautiful card in person if you haven't seen a Galactic. There's some hardcore Galactic collectors out there. And shout out to Jameson. This is his card. I didn't even realize I saw it on his Instagram.
Oh, really? Nice.
All right, second favorite card of the season. I mean, it's got to be the NT Logo Man, bro. All right, so first of all, I've talked about this many times. The Logo Man is the most special card you can pull in basketball cards, I feel like. I always get a special warm feeling when I pull a Logo Man. It's like, man, it's like the pinnacle, right? This is the second year Luka Doncic game-worn NBA Logo Man. Great design as always. You know, you get majority of the Logo Man is there. You know, and with veterans, it's always game-worn. So you feel like you have a piece of history. So this design is like year to year, it never lets me down. And this is my second favorite card this year.
Yeah, and I think I would do yourself a favor if you're new to the hobby, if you're tuning in, first off, thank you. Follow us on MojoBreak_com on Instagram and Twitter as well. And we also have MojoBreak Media that we're uploading this podcast to. But what I wanted to say is look at the Logo Man prices. If you've never looked at them, it's crazy. I mean, just, you know, guys that are, you know, not even like established are going for thousands upon thousands of dollars. I mean, has this sold yet, this Luka?
Yes, I was actually going to put it on name and price this today, but since we're not doing that, it was like $32,000.
Wow.
$33,000.
So the price of a lower-end Tesla. is what this card sold for. And that's the dream, is to be able to, like C-Rad said, is being able to pull a card like this in a box or own a card like this. I mean, that's a second-year Luka. I bet you that sold more than his original five logo mans. You know, he had the one through five.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a second year, but that might be game worn as opposed to.
This is game worn.
Right. So
for sure, game worn.
So that's also the weird thing about this whole thing, right? Is that even though it's a second year, that's probably a rookie game worn logo man. So some can make the argument that that's a rookie card. I know that's blasphemous in this hobby, but that could be a rookie card in a sense. They could almost run 2 years of rookies. Don't give them any ideas, but. They could take all the material from the rookie year and have like a second year rookie class. I mean, that's kind of not great, but.
All right. And the third card on my list here, guys, it's a little bit of a sentimental card, but it also is one of the nicest cards of the year. It's the Hoops auto of Kobe Bryant and Zion Williamson, the dual auto. Now, a little bit of backstory on these cards. People are like, you know, some people were like, Yee was like, why are they putting Kobe with Ja? It doesn't make sense. Why are they putting Kobe with Zion? It doesn't make sense. Traditional Hoops basketball, they had the set called All-NBA Rookie. And it was for a long time, it was the Kobe All-NBA Rookie. And it was a case hit. You get one insert per case, per 20-box case. And it'd be Kobe Bryant with the picture of the rookies. And, you know, that'd be their All-NBA Rookie. And that was a huge chase card for Hoops for a long time. So this year, what Panini decided to do was actually put the top guys with Kobe and had them actually sign. When you see these cards, they're absolutely beautiful though. They're like they literally, I don't know what the surface they were using and what, and you know, like it's just amazing to look at. Ja, obviously Zion has his own autos by himself in this set. Ja has his own auto in this set. Kobe, they also have autos of Kobe with Ja and Kobe with RJ, I believe, RJ Barrett. But yeah, this is a card that I was looking hard to buying like back when it first came out. And this is it's out of reach now. This is
What are they?
They're asking 100K or best offer now.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and one thing to keep in mind, it's not numbered, right? So how many do we think they made? Yeah, I mean,
not a lot.
Yeah, probably under 50. I would say maybe.
Yeah, and this is a huge reason why the Hoops boxes have gone up so high as well. This is a huge chase card. It will continue to be a huge chase card in the hobby for a long time. This is going to be one of those cards, you know, if Zion or Ja or RJ turns out into the players that people hope they will be with, you know, on card with the iconic Kobe Bryant, you know, RIP. But, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I want one too, but not that price. But
it's an amazing card.
It is. And it's probably one of the last on-card autos for Kobe too, right? I mean,
one of the last ones, yeah.
You know, so it's definitely iconic. I hope one of those three guys do pan out too, because that's what the risk is. And I've talked to some manufacturers about this. The risk of doing dual autos or triples or quads with guys that are unestablished is you can go back to the Aaron Rodgers year. I think there's a Aaron Rodgers quad that has just some guys that didn't pan out, and it's terrible to look at because you've got one good guy and you have three bad guys, right? So you hope that it just doesn't become Kobe is the draw to this one. But I agree with you. I keep seeing these come up on my feed on eBay and stuff like that, and I'm like, man, that is a great card.
All right, number four, new entry to the list, boy. Spectra Color Blast.
Woo!
Super short printed, ultra short printed. Maybe 10 copies or less for each player in the run. I actually pulled one last week, and so I saw what this card looks like in person, and it's probably the most amazing card I've ever seen in my life, bro.
Who did you pull?
Zion.
You pulled the Zion one.
Yeah, I said you guys.
Oh, that's right. You did show it? No, I don't think you did, dude. I must have missed it. I bet you my daughter had my phone.
Bro, yeah, so, I mean, Color Blasts have been popular since Panini introduced them last year in Panini Baseball. And Prism Football and Prism Collegiate Draft Basketball. But, man, seeing one in person with the colors bouncing off the card, the white background, in this case, looks absolutely amazing with the card. Yeah, another card that's going to be sought after for a long time.
It's crazy, I mean, what Panini has done with Spectra to make it Spectra-rific, I guess, without lack of a better word there. But it, like we talked about before, the years before, Spectra is just terrible. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it never went up. There just never was a draw. So they've introduced this. They've introduced the Nebula Logo Mans, and now you're talking about a product that's 4 to 5 times the amount of what it came out at. Yeah. So people are paying thousands of dollars a box for this stuff, and it's insane. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, I don't think the Zion Logo Man has been pulled yet, or the Ja. that I know of.
Nope, not yet.
So
I haven't seen it. All right, and last one, closing up the show. I want to show you guys my fifth card, best card design this year. I know it's kind of cheating, a little cheating, but it's another NT card. It's the National Treasures True Rookie Vertical RPA. Now, there was some cards in consideration. I mean, I want to give a shout-out to the Cracked Ice Contender Auto that was in the running. I want to give a shout-out to, of course, the Prism design this year. Amazing. A shout-out to also the Crown Royal Prime Silo. But, I mean, when it comes to the RPAs, they knocked it out of the park this year with the true RPA with the vertical. I think verticals are people's most favorite, you know, every year. But when they switch up to horizontal, it's always like, yeah, is it good? It's good. But the vertical, usually they knock it out of the park, and they did a great job this year. So
I agree.
That'd
yeah.
be my number five slot.
I don't think there's been a design of an RPA in the last couple of years I haven't liked. You know, the 1 year, I think it was the Towns year, was probably the worst in my opinion because they went 15-16. They went horizontal, right, mm-hmm. as opposed to vertical. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the two. So, but every other year, it's just been, that's been the card to have, right? So, I mean, you could just, it just screams like, this is the card to have. And they do a good job with that, so.
Yep, and that's my top five favorite cards, guys. There's still so much more products to come out this year, so this could change by the end of the year. I'm sure we'll do a update once all the 1920 cards come out, but yeah, that was it.
Well, that does it for the show, guys. Thanks, guys, for watching. Make sure you, once again, follow us at Instagram, MojoBreak_com, Twitter, MojoBreak_com. We're doing breaks every day. We're also going to be expanding personal boxes. So we do personal boxes on Tuesdays currently, but we do breaks every day. We're live every day doing something, whether it be basketball, which we just talked about. What do you got planned for basketball this weekend? You going to do something crazy?
Yeah, we got some cases of older stuff where we'll probably do multi-case randoms. We got some 18-19 contenders I think I'm going to use this weekend, so be on the lookout for that, guys. May yep. have some Prism Hobby in the mixer that somebody was requesting Ooh. Last night, so we'll see about that. But yeah, check us out. Also, our new YouTube channel, Mojo Break Media. That's where we're going to be launching a lot of new content for you guys, not just the hype, but a lot of new shows and stuff. Personal boxes will be there eventually, right?
No, that's going to be a Mojo Break Card Shop. So we have three channels now. So the third channel is going to make its debut next Tuesday, but don't go anywhere. We're also going to be on this channel as well. But yeah, we got a lot of things going on, and we're going to be doing an absolute memorabilia baseball box giveaway. We're also going to be participating, and I look out for this. We're going to be doing a free two box break of Mosaic Choice and Crown Royale basketball. So we're going to be doing it with the Virtual Con on Sports Card Investors Virtual Con, which we're glad to be a part of. We're not from Los Angeles, but we are from Santa Clara, just to clarify the Instagram promotion that went out. But they're busy, so I understand things happen. But I can't even get my audio right sometimes, so I get it. But we're going to be doing a free two-box break, so look out for that on how to sign up. That'll be posted amongst all the social media channels to join that. And that's it. Thanks, guys, for joining. We'll see you on the next hype. Peace.